Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. It is great to be back. Jill and I love coming to Jackson. Such a gift, such a gorgeous part of God's creation. And we love being with you. It's really wonderful to just see the blossoming of this congregation. And I think a lot of it probably has to do with your new rector, who I'm very thankful for, and his leadership, not only here in this community, but in our diocese as well. I'm going to just say a few words about the scripture, then I have something else that I prepared for today. And I was thinking this morning as I was reviewing the scriptures that it is good to be found. You know what I mean? The lost sheep. It was great for the lost sheep to be found. St. Paul, in that letter to Timothy, was a person who was found. He had been lost. He says, he judged me faithful, appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence. But somehow Paul, this guy who was totally on the wrong track, on the wrong course, was found. And then I was thinking also, remember that story of the woman in Hawaii who was lost in the national forest there? Can you imagine how good it was for her to be found? Not only for those who found her, the rejoicing, that those folks who didn't know if they should keep having hope, but the hope that she had that she would be found. And I'd like you to reflect about when you were found. That was a great question. Why? Did you hear that little voice? Why should you reflect on that? Because we are found. And if we don't know that we've been found, see, it's better to be the lost one than with the 99. And it's right for us to feel like the lost one as opposed to the 99. And I'll get to that later, but I'll say it now too. Because the fact is, we are all in need of God's grace. We're all sinners in need of God's grace. And that's part of what makes us one. We have that same need. So I just wanted to share a little bit. I think it's really good to be found. I hope that you have that experience. So I'm keenly aware that this visitation is our last, my last and Jill's last visitation with you, at least in an official capacity. And I rejoice in all that our Lord has done in our time together. And you know, when I first became bishop, I would hear about the church in Jackson, even when I was a priest in this diocese. Part of the narrative was that church is kind of on their own. They're separate from the rest of the diocese. And the narrative that I began saying right from the beginning was, no, they're a really critical and important part of our diocese. And in fact, I said this to you in my first sermon with you, that I'm calling on you to be a touchstone for our diocese, a place that represents Christ, something that tells a little bit about the good spirit that's here in the Diocese of Wyoming, because you have a lot of people coming here. And a lot of people come to this church. I want to thank you for being a touchstone, for being a place where folks see the goodness of the Episcopal Church, the goodness of Christ in the Diocese of Wyoming. You know, I rejoice in all that our Lord continues to do. I rejoice in this moment and in the future. And there are two things. As I was preparing this sermon for my last round of visitations, I just thought, this is my last chance. And I thought, what is it that I want to say to our churches and to the diocese? And there are two things I want to say. And the first is this. It's to share your story of faith. And I thought I might be able to open that door a little bit by sharing just a few pieces of my story of faith. My hope is that you'll share your story of faith with one another. So in my story, as a young child, I didn't have much of a connection with the church. I don't remember any kind of conversation about God with family members. My first memory of anything God-related was being asked to kneel at the side of my bed with my grandmother. My mom had been divorced when I was 3. You may not know this, my birth name was John McEldowney Green Jr. It's kind of like John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. But then Mr. Smiley, when he married my mom, when I was 6, adopted me. And so I got that great name. But during those 3 years, after my mom divorced, for some of that time, we lived with my grandfather because my grandmother died, and then he remarried Alma, who I called Grandeer. And Grandeer, when she came into the house, would come to my bedroom when it was time to go to bed and make me kneel by the side of the bed, which felt really odd. Why are we doing this? But then she would pray what I think was the Lord's Prayer, and I would listen, and there was something sort of warm and nice about that. And I think that was my first exposure to an intentional faith life. In my youth, I tried a couple of Episcopal churches, but I found Sunday school to be another place to fail. Because you see, I was born and am a dyslexic kid. I was a behavior problem in school. And in Sunday school, it was another place to fail because I couldn't read and keep up with the lessons. Thankfully, I had a teacher in the school that I was attending who thought, this guy might have some brains in there, and said to my parents, get him tested, which they did. And they found out that I had a pretty real learning problem. And thankfully, my folks had the resources to send me to a school named the Rectory School in Pomfret, Connecticut. And they moved me in 8th and 9th grade from 4th grade reading level to college. And it saved my life. I'm sure it saved my life. But Sunday school for me in those early days was just another place to fail. It didn't feel good. While I was at that boarding school that I just mentioned, I was confirmed. The only thing I remember about that was having to memorize the Nicene Creed. Not exactly the most inspiring spiritual thing for me. I didn't go to church camp. I was never really involved in any church youth group. My only positive experience with church that I remember, the really mystical positive experience, was Christmas Eve. In my hometown in Summit, New Jersey, Calvary Episcopal Church, a big church, and they used to put a ton of live Christmas trees in the front of the church. And you'd walk in and it would smell like the outdoors. And I loved it, and there was something sort of magical and mystical and wonderful about that. And so I would go to church once a year. But what I want you to think about with that is be kind to those people. You know, one of them might become your bishop someday. But somehow in the midst of all of this, I instinctively knew that there was power, real power in God, some supernatural force, a God that I could turn to, a God that was real. And my first real turning to God came about in a cross-country motorcycle trip. I'd saved my money during my senior year of high school and wanted to go out and buy a Harley Sportster and be just like Peter Fonda in Easy Rider. My dad thought, nope, you can't get a Sportster. He told me I could get a Honda. So I bought a Honda 750, went all the way from New Jersey to California, had a really interesting summer. On the way home, going along I-80, going about 75, 80 miles an hour, 10 o'clock at night, my chain snapped on the motorcycle and went through the crankcase. Thanks be to God, it didn't wrap around my leg or something awful happened, but the motorcycle essentially blew up and pulled off to the side of the road, unrolled my sleeping bag. My friend Robbie, who had another motorcycle, pulled in next to me. We just unwrapped our sleeping bags and went to sleep. And woke up the next morning, and we were near an exit ramp, and on the corner above the exit ramp, there was a Honda dealership. That was like a little sign of grace. We pushed the motorcycle up the ramp, had it boxed, sent back to New Jersey, put my tent, my sleeping bag, put everything else in the crate, and then hopped on the back of Robbie's motorcycle, thinking he'd give me a ride all the way back to the East Coast. But after 30 miles, somewhere in the middle of Indiana, he asked me to get off. Well, the fender kept hitting the back tire, and so it really was a dangerous situation, but I didn't appreciate being asked to get off at the time. So I stuck my thumb out, began hitchhiking, which I wouldn't advise these days, but back then it was a little safer, I think. Day turned into night. Cars and trucks kept whizzing by. Nobody was stopping. And I thought, I'm going to pray. Because I'd never really prayed before. But I thought, I'm going to pray. So I prayed. I thought it out. I thought, I think 18-wheel trucks tend to go farther than most of the cars. So I prayed, Lord, would you have the next 18-wheeler that goes, that's coming by me, stop and pick me up and give me a ride. I thought I should be specific. So I did pray that prayer. And right after I prayed it, there was a truck stop up above the ramp where I was now standing at the bottom of. I heard a truck start up, go through the gears, begin to come down the ramp, and then gear down, stop, and this angel, this man who was like an angel, picked me up and gave me a ride throughout the rest of the night. Now, I'd not been hanging around of the most savory characters that summer, but this guy was the salt of the earth and a gift from God, and I just felt within me that a shift was taking place. My heart had been stirred. Prayer was answered. Soon after that, getting back to New Jersey, it was time to go to college. And in college, after a sociology class and a night of partying, I took a nap and had a dream. And in that dream, it was really the moment of my not just turning to God, but my giving myself to God. You know, I was like Paul in many ways, I think, in that, you know, I wasn't necessarily the greatest sinner, but I was a pretty good one. And this dream was a gift of grace. The dream that God gave me that just changed my life was an image of God, of how God knew me, first as a young man, then as an old man. It was just two pictures of just, there was an invitation for me to see myself in the way that God, I believe God saw me. And it was also an invitation to see each of you in the way that God sees you, with grace and mercy and hope and wonder and joy. And I could not get that image out of my mind. It was like getting branded. And it was extraordinary. It actually led me to drop out of college, which my parents weren't pleased about, but it put me on a spiritual journey. I began reading religious texts, and I started taking religion classes, and I signed up for one religion class now my sophomore year that really was interesting because it explored happenings of the Holy Spirit around the world. It just was really, I mean, some of them were nuts, some of them were just wonderful, but I was so intrigued because, again, I believe that God is real and powerful, still do. And there was this one community that really attracted me. It was Findhorn in Scotland back in the 1970s. Now, Findhorn in Scotland had these spirits in the garden, and they were growing, the people were growing giant vegetables. I thought that was pretty cool. Because, you know, in my naive way of thinking, I'm thinking there's a hunger problem in this world. And wouldn't it be good if we could grow giant vegetables to help people? So, sold my motorcycle. Said, Mom and Dad, I'm dropping out of college so I can go learn how to grow giant vegetables. Aren't you glad I didn't tell you this before I was elected bishop? I never would have been elected. So Mom and Dad said, please finish the semester. which I did, went to Scotland, stuck out my thumb again from Glasgow, going up to Finhorn, slept on a gentleman's field, didn't make it all the way, and had another dream. And in this dream, I felt it was as if the Lord was speaking to me, and he said three things. First was, why are you here? Not what you want to hear when you've just made these declarations. See you in 5 years, folks. I'm going to learn to grow giant vegetables. And then the second phrase was, you didn't need to come here. Oh. And then finally, you've already found what you're looking for. I didn't need to go to Finhorn to learn how to grow giant vegetables. What I needed was something I already had, which was a gift that God had already given that I hadn't recognized, and that's the gift of faith. Because it really was faith that made me do all those crazy things, like drop out of college and go look for giant vegetables. And my response to each of those questions when they came was, yes, Lord. And I woke up knowing that what I was looking for and what I'd already found was the power to make a difference. And that power was found in allowing the faith of God that is already among us and in us to live through us and live through me. That would give me the opportunity to engage miracles. I did go back to college, continued reading world religions. And what I also found in all that reading was that I liked Jesus best. I just liked Jesus. You know, and over time, I grew to love Jesus. Just really love the guy. You know, I love who he is. I love what he stands for. I love his boldness and his willingness to challenge and confront, not to be annoying, but to give folks opportunity to grow. I love his faithfulness and his playfulness. I love his loyalty. He's so loyal. I love his leadership and his humility. His outstretched arms. I love his skills as a cook. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there, one of those disciples on the Sea of Galilee, when he says, come on in, folks, I've cooked some fish for you. I love his humanity, I love his divinity, his perseverance, and his friendship. What a friend we have in Jesus. So I'm part of this church because Jesus cared about the institution. He attended the synagogue whenever he could. But what I like most about church is you. You. It's what I like most, the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ. You're what makes church fun and challenging. It's the best part. You're the best part. You know, the other thing, and I mentioned this before, the other thing I really like about us is that we're all sinners. I like that. It puts us on common ground, on level ground, on the same ground. We're all sinners in need of God's grace. And I believe the church is a flawed human institution that is also humanity's best hope because it seeks God's breath. It seeks God's spirit, God's presence, God's leading, God's will, as Jesus taught us to pray. Thy will be done here, now, through us, on earth, just as it is in what we believe heaven is like. So all of this and so much more brings us to this moment in our time in worship. And what I want to say to you, and this is the second thing. One is tell your crazy stories of faith. And how the first is tell your stories of faith and how you recognize the Spirit among you. But the second is this. It's what I really want you to hear. And I know you learned it in kindergarten. Jesus loves you. I really want you to know that. Because love makes us who we are. We grow into greater growth because we're loved. We are loved into greater growth. and you are loved by Jesus. So I hope you can say to yourself, really, and really mean it, know it, that you could say, Jesus loves me. This I know. Why? For the Bible tells me so. But not just the Bible, my friends. I want you to tell each other. Let the body of Christ tell each other. Jesus loves you, and know it deep in your being. And your bishop tells you too. Jesus loves you. Not because you deserve it. None of us deserve it. He loves you because that's just the way he is. And he can't help himself. So finally, again, let me thank you for the way you are demonstrating Christ's love into this community in so many ways. The Habitat housing. I know more and more that you are seeking to be influencers of this community. One of those places that people, the community turns to for grace and leadership. Thank you for all the ways you've exercised that leadership. If we had time, we would just sit here and name them all. But for now, my encouragement to you is know that you are a blessing and be that blessing to the community. Live confidently as a blessing to your community because you are. And I thank God for you. And I've spoken to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.